If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the programme where I invite guests to revisit picture postcards that they've kept, and together we try to understand what it was that made us hold on to these particular cardboard oblongs. Usually, as you probably know, each time I welcome to the studio two guests, and it's their postcards that lead us to a pattern of memories, mysteries and stories. But we've reached the end of the third series of Podcasts from the Past, around 50 episodes now, if you add them all up. So this programme is the podcast equivalent of a postcard multi-view, one of those cards that show various views of the place where you bought the postcard. And we'll be revisiting conversations with a few of the guests from across this third series. I'm Tom Jackson, and today the first class guests we'll be featuring include the writer A.L. Kennedy, actor Justin Edwards, comedian Marek Larwood. We'll be hearing from historian Toby Matthew and an expert on seaside photography, Professor Karen Shepherdson. And as these programmes are conversations, there'll be some other voices in the mix too. We'll start in Margate with a show we did live at the Turner Contemporary as part of the Margate Bookie 2019. And my guests were Professor Karen Shepherdson and Scott Pack. Scott and Karen, hello, and welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Dr. Karen Shepherdson is a photographer, curator, and writer. Specifically, she's reader in photography at Canterbury Christchurch University, where she directs SEAS photography.
SEAS
photography.
Yes.
Which we're going to hear a bit more about later on. But it is a collection of seaside photography, so very appropriate for us today. And she also co-directs the Centre for Research on Communities and Cultures. Many of you here today will have seen the fruits of Karen's work right here in the Turner Contemporary in the wonderful seaside photographed exhibition earlier this year that she co-curated with Val Williams. Now, Karen, you come here today with a CT12 postmark, is that right?
Yes, I think that is right. Is that Ramsgate CT12? I'm not sure. Maybe somebody... Yes, it is. I think CT12 is Ramsgate.
But... And why Ramsgate? What's that to you?
Well, it's more than Ramsgate, actually. It's the Isle of Thanet. It just runs through my marrow. I've lived here all of my life, and I was speaking to somebody earlier that referred to himself as, in many years past, I hasten to add, but as a denier of having lived on the Isle of Thanet. And sometimes it's been referred to as the Isle of the Dead, from Thanatos, Isle of the Dead. And I had to reassure him that he hadn't been the only one. And I used to find the fact that I had been not only born but bred, never left. I desperately, wanted to be able to do something glamorous like live in London. I had felt a sense of shame. And then I rediscovered my love of this place, through a variety of ways, but really predominantly through telling a lie. I told a lie. I lied about the fact that I had lived elsewhere. and I can't even say that I was very young when I did that. So I had to really go and sit in a room and think about why I told such a silly lie. And from that, actually, I found a love for here.
So now you can celebrate that continuity.
I can.
Very good. Before we discover the postcards that Scott and Karen have brought along to share with us all, I'll give you a couple of quick cards of mine. Of course, these are postcard from the past style cards, like I do on Twitter, an old card from which I've selected just a bit of the message. So let's start with this card. This is a view of Hunsett Mill in Norfolk Broads. Norfolk Broads, very popular place for sending postcards. We have had two great catastrophes. One, my pants went overboard into the water. And two, Aunt Pearl's hat did the same. The hat we rescued, the pants we could not and did not. So, that's a nice story, really. One more of these quickly. This is a card of the Devil's Chimney. Beachy Head. There you go, Beachy Head. Very nice picture. It's a rather abstract view. And the bit of the message that amused me was, the hotel and waiters are nice, but there is no one my age. Hope your hamster is well. Now, here in the room, the cards we're discussing are being shown on a screen, hence people's responses. At home, they should be popping up on your device, depending on how you're listening, but you can also go to the show notes on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, and see that we are not making this up. Now, Scott and Karen, you've been kind enough to come to a gallery today with some postcards of your own. Karen, let's start with you.
OK, let's do it.
Can you tell me about the first card you've brought along?
That one. Okay. Okay.
Now, this seems appropriate for a seaside. It's a seaside, comic seaside postcard.
Yes, you'll see that I always remain close to home. This isn't sort of typical of the postcards that I would normally select and certainly not buy, but I'm quite interested in them. It's by Dudley. But I do collect postcards that have seaside photographers on, and how photographers have been sort of repeatedly depicted both as male, predominantly on postcards, and also in this particular way of, let's say slightly sleazy. And sort of sex not far away from the conversation, as it were. So, yes, I chose this, but I chose it not really because of the front. I'd really rather it have had a different seaside photographer on it, because it's about him changing his film. And you've got the empty reel of film just in the corner by Dudley's name.
Which is, of course, a piece of history now in itself.
Absolutely, but could be mistaken for some sort of strange phallus.
Should I show us the back?
If you flick over to the back, there's a... a story there that kind of links to this notion of the filmmaker or the film being produced. And this is to Mr. and Mrs. Paul Taylor, and I think it's Paul and Reenie. And it's saying that, I think it's Ross, but it could be Rose. I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
Well, the two S's are very different, aren't they?
They are, so I'm not really quite sure of the gender of the sender.
They've made a very good effort on the rest of the writing.
Exactly. Something goes a little bit more ambiguous and maybe anonymous when we get down to the name. But I just really love the message, because it stays true to this notion of the filmmaker. And, again, something that could be quite dark and rather sordid, because... We can see...
Can we read it for the listeners?
Last time round. So I think that would suggest that was the last postcard that they would be sending.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be knocking on your door late Friday 25th. And I think this is from 1963, October 1963. About same time as before. Do you think Keith could hire, borrow, steal a car from Franklin's so I can get to EG's at Saffron Walden? I've shot off another 150 to 200 feet of film, hence the appropriate card. Oh. So clearly an amateur filmmaker, 100 foot, 200 foot of film that they clearly want processing. And, of course, the ambiguity of that is what's on that film. And, yes, it just sort of tickled my intrigue, really. Linked to that seaside, I think it's been sent from Plymouth, yes, the hotel in Plymouth. It was one of the ones that, really shows how men are being portrayed as photographers at the seaside. And whilst that can be seen as quite jovial, I think that actually the seaside remains a very difficult place to be a man with a camera. So I think that men with cameras at the seaside are often really beginning to feel under threat themselves and
as
to be seen in a particular way. Well, I think that when we go back even further, the man with the camera is being seen as, you know, a peeping Tom or a voyeur. You'll see some of the other from the other selections that I've made, that they are seen in a particularly negative light.
So we'll see the next card. Remember, you're suggesting that that's a problem for the male photographer, that they might be perceived badly. The contrary view, that it might be seen as a titillating notion that you can become a legitimised voyeur.
That's a very good point. And I think that that was actually part and parcel of this, that it was all good sport. And, of course, it offers an opportunity to show something that's titillating in terms of the young man or the man here changing
on this
the
picture
film.
I rather like the couple on the other side of the groin who are could not be more shocked if they tried.
Yes.
Their eyes are literally popping out.
Yeah, and again, in terms of their shapes, this is absolutely typifies what we see in these sketch postcards, that people are either very, very thin, or hourglass if it's a woman of a certain age, and then adults of a certain age are either incredibly thin or very, very large, and that becomes part of the comic element of it too.
So voyeurism, keeping with the theme of voyeurism, we have an earlier card with a voyeuristic look, I think. Let me just get to that.
Oh yes, I love this one. I really love this. Here's Terry Thomas, really, isn't it? You know, if those of us old enough to know Terry Thomas. But it's actually a German card. No message on it, unfortunately. So it hadn't been used. So an unused one. And this cad with his large shoes and thin legs and, of course, his bellows camera about to pounce on what appears to be this woman about to change behind the bathing hut in this at this German resort.
She's made a bit of a mess of being modest, really, hasn't she? Given that it appears that her buttocks are pointing out. But,
yes.
But all may not be as it seems.
All may not be as it seems, and so there's a wonderful reveal.
I've got my thumb on the clicker, and here we go.
Go for it, Tom. And here we have the illusion. So the postcard is what I find as wonderful illusion. In actual fact, from the turn of the century, there's lots of these cards that play with this expectation that you're going to see something, I think at the time we would refer to it as somewhat saucy.
Certainly.
Yes, certainly. And then, of course, we are frustrated by, or find comic, the reveal or the revelation.
Imagine the bitter disappointment.
Great disappointment.
You receive this card, you see the buttocks.
This is my moment.
And then
we get this reader, the thinker in, I think these are called a Strandkorb. Beautiful wicker Strandkorb.
Am I saying they're
German beautiful wicker?
Yes.
I'd like one of these because they
protect them in Poland. They're really nice.
Yeah, and they protect you a little bit from the wind. So, you know, Margate, we do tend to get a bit of a northeasterly from time to time. So I think this is, just really, I love the beautiful reveal. And it's beautifully sketched and painted. I think it's a lovely object in its own.
I think it would be very, very hard to find one of these that have been sent through the post. I think they were designed as playful souvenirs, don't you think?
I agree. I think that it would struggle to go through the post because I think it would be damaged. So I think if it was sold, I wonder if it was actually sold originally with an envelope as well. So I hope
and
you don't think
it would be double weight, wouldn't it? So the post might not like it.
Yeah, yes. I hope you don't think I was cheating by including it, because when we look at it, you know, in terms of its size and shape, you know, I mean, it is absolutely...
Yes, here's the real thing. You could show us the reveal, actually, Karen.
Brace yourselves, and then here we go.
Oh, what a
here
disappointment.
A seaside card with a surprise at Margate. Two guests who threw themselves into the podcast with personal, funny postcard stories were a pair of our finest, funniest comic actors, Cariad Lloyd and Justin Edwards. When they came to the studio, Justin revealed his secret passion.
I collect beer mats because I've got small children. I don't get out much.
How did this start?
I don't know. I've always liked them. They're, as you say, they're sort of ephemeral pub things. And I had in the village I grew up in, had a very interesting and unique pub that was sort of, we spent most of our time in from about the age of 14 onwards. And only closed down about sort of 7 years ago. The landlord and landlady finally both died, and the whole thing was then sold off by the brewer, and it's now luxury housing. But it was an extraordinary sort of pub, and they had they were owned by a particular brewery, and they had a particular beer mats. And I don't know why, I just sort of bought some nostalgically on eBay, and I go, oh, this reminds me of sitting in that pub when I was 16, and the world seemed sort of sprawled ahead of you. And then there was buying more and more beer mats, because it turns out they're very cheap to collect, because you can sort of go on eBay and buy 500 assorted beer mats.
Your wife must love that.
Absolutely loves it. Right, $2.99.
So she may not share that excitement with the postman.
Sort of sift through them, and it's like you sort of put them out of the table. Oh, look at that. Well, then you find some just ridiculous things. That's amazing. Oh, there's a one from 1972, and here's a weird one from the sort of World Cup 1966, and then here's a rubbish one from Foster's one from 2 years. I don't want that one. You know, it's kind of... and I don't collect them. I then got into... I sort of spoke to the Beer Mat Collecting Society, and people are very, very strict and rigid about collecting like stamps, and you have to sort of frame them in certain things. And I just kind of go, no, I'll put all the ones that I like the look of in this frame, and all the ones that are sort of, I've got a great collection of just ludicrous soft drinks like cherry brandy ones and baby sham ones, and they're all, and some of them I just really love the artwork, and so I'm a bit.
It is a
random
piece of popular art, though, isn't it? And you're sort of curating it and saving it.
I like to think about that. My wife doesn't. I've sort of downsized them slightly, they kind of, you know, they gather. So I've been framing. So anyway, but this is there are postcard beer mats, and I've bought a couple with me.
So we're combining the two worlds here. This is fantastic.
So this
across the beams.
Yeah, you'd have found this on your. In your pub, you'll put your pint there, you turn it over, and it's a postcard on the back. And you think, I'll write to someone from the pub, sprawl over it. I don't know where you get it. Where you'd get a stamp in a pub, maybe they sold them. And then you'd forget about it and leave it there in the toilets, I imagine. So I don't imagine ever sent, but it's, yeah. But this one, in particular, it's Whitbread Trophy Bitter. It's like Donald McGill Saucy Sea Guide postcard, but really, have a look, it's really badly drawn.
Oh my God.
And
slightly, badly printed as well.
And slightly awful.
Is this from the 70s, we think?
It's mid-70s, and it's one of a collection from, it says what brewery it is on the back, so Whitbread Trophy Bitter. Big enough to satisfy your beer buds, and this was their slogan, I assume, at the time they came out. Big enough, that's good. Whatever your beer buds are, whether they're
it
must be, yeah. And so the whole series is based on these red-nosed men satisfying their beer buds and bucks, and this is a sort of particularly weirdly drawn buxom barmaid.
She doesn't look well, does she?
Who looks like she's got some terrible affliction, sort of skin.
Rosacea, a lot of rosacea going on.
Saying, I think your beer buds have been satisfied enough, boys. Your warning lights have come on, as in their noses are so red, they're so paralytically drunk. She seems delighted by that, you know. But it's really
It's the kind of humour you see on Edwardian cards.
Weird.
It's so old-fashioned.
Yeah, really.
But it's weird
because
it's like. The implication isn't like, oh, you've had a good time. It's like, you were all so wasted.
Yeah,
your faces are literally glowing red.
The blood vessels in your nose have burst to the extent I think you should go home.
Yay! So,
in fact, maybe you would be allowed to use that now because it's actually a health warning.
It really is a health warning.
You're not allowed to show people having a particularly good time with alcohol. That's the rule. But to show them getting ill, maybe that's actually a good idea.
Yeah, I'm a buxom barmaid. It should be a very severe mouth throwing them out of the pub or sort of, you know.
Yeah, how weird.
Anyway, it's slightly strange, but it remains unsent.
Yes. I suppose one thing about these cards is, I never quite know what the protocol is about stealing...
Taking beer mats. Yeah, it's
I like to try and do that, particularly when you're abroad. Well, that'd be nice. Never do anything with it.
Yeah.
But obviously, you were meant to steal it.
Yeah, and this one was meant to go...
I think you can steal. I used to work in a pub, and the idea is that they're paper and they're just going to get very wet. So I don't
They're meant to be there. And also, they're slightly pointless, aren't they? They don't really protect the table from
beer.
They don't do anything.
I think they genuinely give people something to do with.
Yeah, and then you can tear them up and you can flip them and do things, but they are also... solid advertising. There are lots of weird ones in my collection for games and competitions whereby collect these, you know, this is a series or whatever and you're supposed to collect them all. So imagine you were encouraged to sort of stick them in your pocket at the end of the night or...
come back for another six drinks.
Well, there's lots of cigarette and crisp ones, so you would sort of be drinking and just staring consistently at this.
Must have crisp.
So I'm sure that, and there's some really good ones that advertise, I'm going to go on about this too, that advertise pies as well. I've got a whole series
of
that's a nice one.
Pies you can buy in the pub, you know, there's ones that have been under it in a kind of glass case mouldering for days. And when you get drunk enough, you just look at your beer mat and go, that's a good idea. I better have one of them.
You just wave the beer mat at the barmaid. Well, that's brilliant. So, beer mats that you could send as postcards is a genre. It's not just, this isn't a one-off.
No, there's quite, I've got one other one here which was slightly more modern. I'm going to be reading glasses about that. That's Chan Stefan, which is another Welsh, as we know it well. Okay, and post. So that's the Welsh word for correspondence, which I won't pronounce. And that's the Welsh word for address, goodness. And that's how you say enjoying a pint of Buckley's. I'm not going to read any of these out in Welsh because it would be offensive. Enjoying a pint of Buckley's. So this is, yeah, again, you're encouraged to write to these people and go, here I am in a pub enjoying this pint of thing and here's some information about the place I'm in. So I mean, it's a bit more souvenir.
It's a functional
postcard. It fulfills all the kind of
postcard
remit.
Yeah, it's like a proper postcard.
And hopefully your friend will receive that and go, gosh, Buckley's traditional ales. I better have a go on this.
What a lovely outdoors holiday you're having.
Yeah, wonderful.
How healthy you are.
And these are slightly smaller than postcards because they're
They have to be. Because if they were regular...
Yeah, they look bigger than beer mats, though, don't they?
Yeah, because like, they're slightly...
Slightly more, yeah. I have got some, I think, which are the regular the beer mat size. But you wouldn't be able to get much on it by the time you've had a stamp on and...
Well, especially the Welsh one.
Because they've had to translate everything on their twine.
If you tried to use a fountain pen on these,
they would go, it would be like
blotting paper, wouldn't it? It'd be horrible.
They're designed to soak up ink. Yeah, that's true.
That's literally their job.
Yeah.
You'd need a quality biro.
You need a quality biro and a steady hand.
Or in those days, maybe a rollerball.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The latest pencil.
This is probably why they didn't really work as a... as an idea.
But if you're going to have something, why not pretend that it has another function? It's quite a nice idea. People love things that... appear to have two functions.
Yeah. There's other beer mats, you know, that are part of sort of almost mosaics. You have to collect them all and stick them all together to make the picture of some beer.
A pie.
Yeah, it's a massive pie.
Pies, pubs, and postcards. This really is the good stuff. Now, back in October, I was thrilled to welcome to the studio two brilliant writers, A.L. Kennedy and Keggy Carew. I wasn't surprised that they had some wonderful, surprising, insightful observations on the postcards they brought in. Alison Kennedy kicked off with some comic postcards.
I do love going to Sark. I think because I read Mr. Pye and I always wanted to go there, and then I was on an aeroplane almost the last time I flew because I hate it, and it was turbulence all the way back from Canada, and there was a little tiny article about Sark. And I'd been meaning to go there for decades, and I finally sort of said, right, I'm going, if I live through this flight, I will never get on a plane again, and I will go to Sark. So I did. But in order to get to Sark, you have to go to Guernsey, which again is this mishmash of insane amounts of rampant alcoholic behaviour, secretive banking, and bits and pieces of the 1950s, and they still sell... these sort of comic, dirty, titsy postcards.
So these are sort of classic smutty cards.
Yeah, so you've got, I'm 93, Doctor, and I don't enjoy my sex life like I used to. When did you first notice it? Twice last night and again this morning. You know, which is sort of hopeful, although he has this death stare in the drawing.
Well, the men in these cards are really not very generously drawn on the whole, are they?
They've got very red noses.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting because all the men are slightly weaselly and pathetic.
Yes.
And the women are very busty. So it's an interesting balance of the sexes.
Yes.
And then you've got what looks like a sort of comic drawing of the Blitz and this man in a big brass fireman's helmet, excuse the double meaning, with his hose at an angle and this guy in the crowd going, blimey, what a man. sort of the 1941 meets 1971.
I like the idea that the onlooker might genuinely think that this wasn't... He's a fireman.
What the hell is he doing up that ladder?
The chances are he's got a hose. Nope, not for this chap.
No. He's got confused. And the angle he's holding it at, he's obviously a very bad fireman.
Yes, because...
That wouldn't work at all.
He's dousing down the top of the building.
Yes. Reminds me of the, Sansom short stories about being a volunteer fireman. So immensely dangerous. He'd just be dead. That's seconds before he dies having made a dick joke, which is, you know, he deserves it. And of course, the actually not a very good version of the spectacles joke with this optician's assistant saying, no, Mr. Smith, I said I could see your worn old spectacles. But he's got his trousers around his ankles, but it does not make any sense.
I don't get that.
Well,
listeners can write in to explain that joke. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's the word spectacles.
He's obviously very deaf as well as an exhibition.
Yeah, he probably needs to have an ear trumpet or something to make it work.
Yeah, but this is, apart from anything else, they remind me of my grandfather, who was incredibly proper, and we'd share a hotel room. I would go with my granny and grandpa to Blackpool, and he'd only be getting down as far as his vest and underpants and long grey socks. But in order to do that, he would climb into the wardrobe and put his pyjamas on in the wardrobe. And then he would come back out fully dressed, basically, again.
Brilliant.
And then he would go to bed. But obviously not just like that. I mean, he was quite racy, and if you went past a fish shop, he would always go, "Morning, ladies," which was his little joke to himself, really, because I was tiny at that point. Sweet, sweet, sweet man. But I remember sitting watching Dave Allen with him, who I loved, that storytelling thing. And he told a story about, the Catholic Church putting warnings on condoms.
Okay.
And the more urgent the warning was that you shouldn't wear a condom, the larger the lettering would become. Which, again, I did not understand it.
Oh, complicated.
But my grandfather made this noise of a man being unable to not laugh.
Okay.
But kind of barks. There's just this, "Bruh!" So I knew it must have been very funny, but I didn't know why, and he wasn't going to say. So I just sat there, and I've never forgotten that joke. But he was an absolute, he was a sweetheart, but he did like this kind of stuff. This is making him sound very pervy, but he wasn't that. But he was just an old school kind of guy, and he had a bottle opener in the shape of a naked lady.
Right.
Which my granny really liked as well.
Now, that probably came from the seaside as well, didn't it?
I would imagine, sort of souvenir nudie lady opener with her arms over her head forming the bottle opener, which I still have. I still have the nudie lady bottle opener, which is just... I'm so full of affection for it. It makes me think of a lovely, lovely man. But in and of itself, it's horrendous.
Yes, yes.
It's utter, there is everything wrong with it.
Yeah, but meaning doesn't quite work that way, does it? The meaning is there for you.
Yeah.
But they're interesting, these podcasts, because if you walk past a shop in the next road from us here and you saw them outside...
I'd want to set fire to it.
Well, you would not be impressed. At the seaside, it's kind of different. Everything's different at the seaside. I don't quite know why that would be. The seaside is just where the land stops. It doesn't actually automatically have a sense of license and cheekiness about it, but it seems to.
It's the raunchy smell of the tide line, maybe. I don't know, but I went back to Blackpool to work with two other people who were doing two other different types of work, and I haven't been since I was probably 10 or 11. And it is just porn. You can't buy rock that isn't in the shape of somebody's genitals. It's just not possible anymore. It was so sad and seamy and awful. And I mean, I'm sure it's changed, but you're also just thinking, wow, I've missed a lot.
But I think when...
I must go.
Yes. Yeah. Peggy's booking a ticket.
We ran away. We literally
I getting some
ran
rock
away.
Like that.
But in the early days of postcards, I know that... Blackpool was seen as a bit of a hotbed of pornographic postcards. Now,
in the brown.
It's sometimes hard to distinguish when you read about these things whether they mean rude jokes like this, comic smutty postcards, dirty postcards, or they actually mean pornography. So it is hard to tell the difference.
Of ladies in black and white.
But it became a big problem. In fact, Blackpool and a couple of other resorts got so upset about it that they began... the council was in charge of censoring these things.
Yeah.
That's what it had to be, the local council. But they were worried it would turn family tourists away in the beginning of the 20th century. So I think it's a constant sort of battle between being cheeky and everyone having this jolly time and actually upsetting people.
We just got...
in life generally, I suppose. But...
Yeah, we got freaked out. We went to the Doctor Who Museum, which is odd that that would be a museum, which was, and there was a fish shop that was next to a fish museum. It just was all, everything was sort of a museum. It was like being back in Cairo.
It's the same thing as "Are you being served?" Isn't it? There's those kind of risky jokes that the English, I don't know, maybe the Germans.
And it can be awful, or it's just, there's a fag paper between it being genius, like Round the Horn,
utterly
obscene all the time, but it was nonsensical and it was kind of even-handedly just bawling about everybody. And then there's, the Are You Being Served, which even made me uncomfortable when I was little. But Granny and Grandpa, they just hooted about it. Mm. And my granny loved Billy Connolly, and she was from the Staffordshire. She could understand about one word in six. My granny couldn't watch it, because I think
because he understood it.
Because he was going to laugh, so he just made tea.
All right.
Kind of constantly, we were surrounded by mugs. We were just sitting in this sort of lukewarm bath of tea, and my granny was just howling. Sterling, but she loved, you know, Max Miller and all of those racy guys. But yeah, I grew up with lots of different kinds of humour, and everybody that I knew
in a much more sort of, you know, tied up society, you've got these. This is much more of a release in a way. We don't kind of need that. I don't think so.
No, because you're going to go online and see everybody's everything.
Then it could have been
quite
a good thing to have a laugh about, you know.
Except a double meaning always works. Yes. Doesn't matter what society you're in, because the word takes you down one way and the meaning takes you somewhere else.
And that's fun. There's a bit of extra about it.
You really didn't expect.
Yeah.
What date are these?
I don't know where the originals are. They're probably 60s, I think.
Yeah. 60s, 70s. I mean, they look like early 70s, except, as I say, the fireman is existing in a little time bubble of bad firemanship. but I do love them. And I mean, I've just brought a selection of things that are on the shelves in my study.
So those are on your shelf every day?
Yeah.
Good
but
gracious.
I'm going to be looking for the smutty puns in your work from now on.
Well, if we even got that high at a moral level. But I don't, I get distracted. I know you're supposed to have a study with postcards on the shelves in front of the books on the shelves, and it looks as if you're, but all of that is behind me, and I sit facing a blank wall, because that would distract the hell out of me.
I think you've probably got the right answer there, actually.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and I'm Tom Jackson. This is our end of Series 3 multi-view, a chance to hear again some of the best postcard conversations from the series. Or if you're new to the podcast, it's a rapid spin round the postcard carousel. One of the most intriguing postcards we were lucky enough to have in the studio this series was brought in by journalist and Russian postcard historian Toby Matthew. His fellow guest was cookery and food writer Thane Prince. She was as astonished as I was by Toby's postcard.
This is a more positive story. So the card is of Yalta in Crimea.
Yes.
And it's a fairly ordinary topographical card produced in the 1910s, I mean, probably around 1918, 1919. And it's fairly unexciting. But on the back, we got a little message. And this chap who's written and said, "This is where we took the royalty from Russia, April the 7th and 8th, 1919. That was written by a sailor on board HMS Marlborough. And his name was Harry English. And this, absolutely. This was part of a much larger group of images. And I just picked this out because I thought this was completely extraordinary. So HMS Marlborough was a British warship that helped rescue the surviving members of the Russian royal family, and notably the Dowager Empress, so Nicholas II's mother. And it's hugely emotive to think he was there. And I think this is a wonderful thing about historical documents, and it's why I try and collect where I can, because it brings one back to a part to the past, and it has an immediacy about it. You know, there's even a little spelling mistake. It's spelled where as were. Okay. And so you're sort of inhabiting the mind as much as one can do of someone who was present at the most extraordinary time.
Amazing.
And there's all sorts of memoirs and contemporary documents talking about the family, the surviving members, looking back. And this was their last view of Russia.
Oh, almost literally the view we're seeing.
It is extraordinary. I mean, that I'm holding this in my hand.
It does feel like a piece of history, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, it is. I've come all sort of goosebumpy. It's extraordinary.
I think it very much is. I mean, this is... obviously, it's the distant past, but it certainly informs the present of what happened to Russia in the 20th century. And one can't help but get wrapped up in these incredibly emotive stories, whether that story is of the family itself, whether it's of those who didn't survive, or whether it's of Mr. English himself, who was there serving on beyond the First World War. Again, not a very well-known fact that, you know, the British Army continued to fight, you know, after the end of the First World War. And he went on and fought in parts of modern-day Turkey and Greece and around. It's something that I feel privileged to own. And I think, you know, a lot of collectors talk about this, but one really is just a guardian for future generations, you know, especially with something like this.
Toby Matthew with a piece of history on a postcard. Listening back to this series of podcasts from the past, I realised I couldn't leave out the episode featuring comedians Marek Larwood and Sukh Ojla. When Marek and Sukh came to the studio, they were in the middle of rehearsals for Sukh's Edinburgh show, which, by coincidence, Marek was directing, and it was a coincidence. Marek surprised me by bringing in a postcard that no one else had thought to bring to the studio.
Yes, it's a remarkable postcard. This is the postcard that I can almost guarantee that everyone has received a variation of this postcard. This is probably the most used postcard now in Britain. It is, we call to deliver your parcel, which needs to be signed for, but you are not in. And it's left from a neighbour. Usually it's illegible, so you can't tell what number they've left it at. I mean, you think that's the only thing you have to do is to write a number. If you want to, I always say that the quickest way to measure time is the time between the doorbell ringing and the time they write that postcard. You've got literally 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I live up some stairs, so there's no way. I've heard the doorbell ring and then gone straight down and there's been this card. That's why it's written, because they write it so fast.
And then there's a 24-hour gap before you can get that urgent thing.
Yeah.
And a queue.
I mean, then this is Parcel Force. This isn't Royal Mail.
Yeah, I tried to find... So. I think I threw away my Royal Mail one. So normally they're Royal Mail, and you go to that Royal Mail collecting point, which is normally at the furthest point possible.
Yeah, from anyone.
Yeah. Open between 8 and 8.15 in the morning, or on Saturdays at 10.39.
With proof of identity.
Proof of identity. Yeah.
Blood group.
Yeah, and a really dirty window. Yeah. A bloke who looks as though you've just insulted every member of his family, his mother, who won't look you in the eye. One of the most unpleasant experiences ever.
Mm. Now, this is this a live card? Is this yet to be...
No, this is from... This is from the 13th of December. It's not.
So they let you keep it?
I think I was left at a neighbour's house, number 57. Ah. So
they're the best. You get to keep the card with those ones.
Yeah, so this one, they've gone... Actually, part of us, I'm quite impressed. So he's already probably checked 49 and 53 and 55, and he's gone all the way down to 57.
Wow.
Because normally, so he probably cared quite
but
a lot.
But if it goes too far, it gets to people who you don't know. And then you may never see the item again.
Or there's one neighbour who's got an awful nanny who often collects stuff, and she shouts from about 6:30 in the morning. So I try to avoid ever meeting her.
Shouts at the child?
She just shouts and sings songs from 6:30.
Oh, wow.
And I have shouted out expletives from my bedroom. Very loudly, which has caused her to stop. I don't want them to be delivered to the...
You don't always have perfect relations with all your neighbours.
No.
I mean, that would be unusual, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a perfect world.
And do you find Parcel Force your favourite cards like that, or are there others you would you prefer?
No, actually, I wanted the Royal Mail one, but they're all addressed to my girlfriend. So I should bring in this one here. That's not, I didn't know if you took photos of them. I wanted something that didn't have my address on, so you
that's
couldn't.
True. Trace you.
All the podcast listeners will be queuing up. We enjoyed your story about the Aretha Franklin card, and we wanted to talk about it further.
I assumed a lot of murderers would listen to this podcast. Mm.
That is our main audience. Yeah. Yes, we certainly aim at that. Well, look, thank you both for these cards that you shared with us and our homicidal listeners. Very much appreciated. Another quick reminder for everyone listening at home who is allowed to listen to things. All the pictures of the cards, suitably anonymised, will be on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including this next one, a last one in the past postcard style, which you'll be familiar with from the book, Postcard from the Past, and the Twitter. And this is a picture of, it's the Isle of Wight. and I'm sure...
Actually, you stand down here.
Perfect. He's good.
Fantastic.
He's good. His story checks out.
He's just walked around it, so I'd be disappointed if you didn't know.
Well, this could be made for you, actually, Marek. And it's very what it is. So for those of you at home, it's a long beach, long pier, gloriously sunny day. Busy, you know, a good day for the shopkeepers. The beach is full of people. Mm. And the message I just thought was a bit odd, and I don't really know what it means. But nothing changes. Not even the paintwork or the colour of Mr. Finney's chest. I don't know who Mr. Finney was. I don't know what colour his chest was.
Well, nothing changes.
That is Sandown, and that's taken from the beach path, which I walked down about a month ago.
So you're on the cliff and looking down.
That's when it used to be busy. My friend Bruce has a beach hut which hires bikes out just down here.
Oh, nice.
It's never been, and it's empty now. No one really goes to the Isle of Wight since they the cheap flights came in to Europe. So it's basically decimated the whole of the Isle of Wight tourism. And this is Sandown, which is in a real dilapidated state where all the hotels are sort of, all the paint is chipping off. And it's quite sad to see a coastal town which has lost its...
How do they make the Isle of Wight fashionable? How do they turn the Isle of Wight into a sort of Whitstable of... Hmm. Must be a way of doing it.
The problem is that the... it's getting quite political now. the ferries have got monopolies on the Isle of Wight, so it's so expensive to take your car over. Everyone just goes, do you know what? And we'll just go to France.
Yeah,
we'll just fly
yeah.
to France, and then we're guaranteed the weather. But the weather's always good in the Isle of Wight.
Is it?
Yes.
And actually, that's where we filmed part of Victoria and Abdul.
Ah. The Queen Victoria's house?
Yeah. Yeah,
Osborne House.
Was that a happy time?
Yes. Yeah, I loved it. I'd never been to the Isle of Wight, and I was particularly happy because there was always a trip in year six to go to the Isle of Wight, and I was never allowed to go. And I finally went, and it was a lovely thing to go when you're, like, in your 30s and you're there acting alongside Judi Dench. So.
Yeah.
Did you have nice weather?
It was lovely, thanks.
Not a surprise.
This is the marketing campaign they need. I hope you've enjoyed our multi-view version of Podcast from the Past. The podcast is now taking a short break before coming back with more postcard stories from more great guests in a matter of weeks, actually. In the meantime, if you haven't subscribed, please do. Of course, that means the next series will come to you automatically. Also, why not take the opportunity to catch up on any episodes you might have missed? They're still up there on iTunes, Acast, via the website, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, or other podcast-providing places. And it's worth looking at the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, anyway, as there are other bits of news on there about talks and live events and so on. But above all, the simplest thing is to keep an eye on the Twitter, @PastPostcard. That's where this all starts, and everything ends up on the Twitter eventually. And if you've enjoyed this third series, please leave a rating or review on iTunes. Apparently, that's helpful. As you no doubt know, we like to end the podcast with a postcard that is also a record. I'm going to leave you with a bit now from a memorable episode where I was delighted to welcome the brilliant, charming, supportive Julia Rayside and comedian, madcap comedian, surreal comedian Tony Law. Julia had exactly the correct response when I handed her the postcard record.
Oh, my God!
Wow.
It's a record. That's a big one. Oh, there's a hole in the middle, yeah.
And grooves. It plays.
Oh, it is a record.
It plays?
Well, Charlie next door has been keeping an eye on things. If we ask her very nicely, she might be able to see if we can do something with
this. Oh, my
this.
God, it's a picture of a yacht.
Yes, of course, it's with you
Thank
in mind,
you.
Julia.
Is,
I had it made specially for you.
Thank you. So
someone's yachting into...
I think they're in Zurich.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh. Well, it sounds Austrian.
Yeah.
It feels ominous, like 1933.
It's a sort of middle European.
It feels
You're
scary.
You're thinking Nazis.
Yeah.
And well, I'm just thinking, oh, the beer colours.
They've ruined that music for me.
It's the equivalent of a hornpipe, I think.
Yes, it's an Austrian or Swiss or whatever, yeah. It's delightful.
Yeah.
Where do you find these?
I always say the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard.
It is, and it's very good quality, really.
Yeah, I think so. I've bought second-hand records that sounded worse.
How old is that, would you
I
guess?
Think that must be 1960s.
Wow.
So which is old enough, if you think about it.
Yeah. It's lasted.
Well, as the...
Anyone know where the accordion comes from?
No,
I'd like to know.
No.
But I enjoyed you miming a squeeze box as you thought that thought, though. That was fun.
Where? Do you know?
No. Oh. It's just something I feel like I should know.
Write in and say. Write on
okay,
a postcard.
Yes, listeners. Yeah. Write on answers on a postcard.
Right?
Thank you, Julia.
Have you never said that before?
Thank God someone's listening.
Man, you've missed a sitter there.
We're going to go back and re-edit every other show. Well, as the beautifully handcrafted wooden boat on the lake in Zurich continues to spin round at 45 revolutions per minute, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Julia Rayside and Tony Law. Thank you both.
Thanks
for having me.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. You can see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me, at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.